Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and our asses hurt from all this beer.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this Valentine's Day, we are reading Lady Bum Tickler's Revels by John Cannon. And I'm starting with a beer.
So you know what? I am too, because this is going to be very short.
Oh my God. No, the whipping goes on and on, though. In Lady Bum Tickler's Revels, I had to look up his name. Lord Strangeletch is really, and he's like, the butt whipping, how's that going? It's nice, right? He's like really into the butt whipping, and probably give him a bit of a ticker shock, you know, whenever gets his heart rate going there. This beer is called Ticker Shock. It's a double dry hopped Imperial IPA from Other Half. That's 8.5% alcohol. And it is very citrusy, but very good.
And we are recording this days after Christmas. So I'm finishing my Christmas beers. So this is Jingle Zombie by KCBC. That fruited sour. Yep. Why does it have to do with the book? No idea.
Message us. Tell us.
Because when you get spanked, your balls jingle.
All the way.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, what fun it is to play with your balls all night and day. Hey.
So Mike, you found this book.
I did.
Why did you find this book?
My question is, why didn't you guys find it first?
How would I know to look for such a thing?
So I was not looking for this. This stumbled onto my lap, which is was exciting. I saw it because I was looking on. It was a very, very circuitous route, but I was basically on Amazon looking up a different book, and it was like customers also bought, and it wasn't this, but it was a book called A Dictionary of Modern Slang, Cant, and Vulgar Words by James Camden Hotten. I was like, that sounds like the fucking opposite of modern. What is that book? That sounds ancient. And so I looked it up. And I was like, and just like the name, James Camden Hotten, like that's a fucking old-timey lord name. Looked it up. Sure enough, he's a guy that lived from 1832 to 1873.
Long lived.
And yeah, really, he didn't live too long. The butt whipping takes it out of you. And so this is the first, this is his biography on Wikipedia, the first two sentences. James Camden Hotten was an English bibliophile and publisher. He is best known for his clandestine publishing of numerous erotic and pornographic titles. I was like, I'm in, baby. So then I read the rest of this Wikipedia article and get to a part where it starts talking about other things. And one was called Lady Bum Tickler's Revels. I was like, if that's not the greatest title of a book I've ever heard. I'm like, there we go. And so a few clicks later, I find it on archive.org. Like, we have no excuse not to do this book.
This is public domain.
So that's how I found it. And it was kismet. It was a magical thing.
Now, it is not a book. It is a play. So you could put this on at your local theater if you so desired. There are songs, but
it's a libretto. It's an opera.
Yeah. Is it an opera?
It's really more like musical theater than opera.
The entire thing is sung?
It's not. He calls it an opera, but it's really...
it's a musical.
It's musical. Yeah. I don't know if they had the word for that, what they would have called that in 1870 or whatever this
I guess, out. Yeah, musicals as we know them didn't really exist.
They hadn't quite invented gay people yet, so they didn't have the same kind of musical.
They hadn't openly invented gay people yet.
Yeah. No, they were still just getting their butts whipped by their chambermaids or whatever the fuck they were doing in this play.
But it is part of a series called, Books like on Social
Human Progress.
Progress
or something like that. The Library Illustrative of Social Progress.
Yes, and it's like six plays, and this is like the second or third one. I don't know if the others are related, but they're all about getting whipped or spanked by rods.
Not those kind.
But not yet. That's too
really
risque
just
even
spanking.
For the 1870s. So.
Yep. And this is volume three.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if this was meant to be like porn, like someone's supposed to jack it to this, or if it's a spoof and just silly. But
it's described as pornographic, which
they called that like
quite tame.
Pornographic. Like it describes pornographic now or described as pornographic then?
Then.
Well, they would be like, oh, this is pornographic because they mentioned a woman's ankle. Well, you know, shit like that. So I don't know if it's like it's clearly like a comedy of sorts, but it's like it's a play. So did he write this? Did they perform this? And for who?
I don't think so.
I mean, certainly not. The notes say it was performed privately.
Yeah.
So who knows?
It was, you know, a local improv group theater.
The Second City put on.
Yeah, it's private because no one went. Many people were invited.
Just like today, there was an improv. Come see my improv group. I'm like, I don't know. What night did you say? Oh, that's the worst night.
I actually have diarrhea. That's going to last until then.
I'm possibly going to die that night. I just don't know. Can't be sure. So it features a bunch of scenes that kind of don't matter.
But also, this is a play with an introduction.
Yeah.
I was very confused when there's an introduction, and then the play starts like a play really would, with like the list of characters and like a scene. But the characters from the introduction are also characters in the play, and they're talking about, I think, are they talking about the same stuff in the introduction? I don't know. Is this like a meta thing, or am I just not following? What the fuck is going on?
I think they're just kind of like, you know, like the tale of the, you know, a woman of Venice in which this happens and then this happens and this happens, like those kind of introductions. That's what I took it as, because they seem to be talking about the plot of this.
But one of them is a character in the later in the play.
Lady Belinda Fleabum.
Yeah.
Which I have to admit, I laughed every time I saw it. New page.
It's a great name.
Yeah, that's funny.
He nailed the names.
I think they are... I don't think we're supposed to think about it too much, is really what it is.
I mean, this introduction... So what's weird is it's before... It's supposed to be performed out loud in front of the audience, except then it's like 25 pages.
Yeah,
and
really
then it
long.
Gets to... and then it gets to, you know, the list of characters and stuff like that. When it's like, wait, but you just did 25 pages of the play. Like, why would you do that so much later?
And the intro ends with Lady Fleabum saying, "Ladies, play away the overture." Like, she's directing the play and then is a character later.
Well, it was apparently performed at Lady Bum Tickler's house. So who the fuck this is? It's anus is all the way down. It's just there's no.
This is like
there's
fourth,
no sense of this.
Fourth dimensional ass slapping plays from the 1870s.
The fourth dimension is spanking.
No, I did see like it was like he said he like republished old stuff. So maybe he didn't write them and he just found these. I don't know. I don't think anyone really knows.
Yeah, who knows?
These are folk tales.
Yeah. Did you notice Picos Pete make an appearance?
You know, the whole time I was picturing like the French Revolution, everyone in like French Revolution costumes.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it reminded me of the Marquis de Sade one.
Oh, 120 Days of Sodom.
Yeah, it reminded me of that, even though technically this is timeless, but it did make me think of that.
Well, it's Victorian. It's Victorian porn. Where no sex happens.
Yeah, so the book is about, or the play is about people getting their asses hit with rods. Like, that's literally all that happens, is a series of characters get their asses beat. But the main question I had of many, well, the main question I have is, why is this book? But the main question about the book itself is, there's parts where, like, kids are getting beat because they're, you know, disobedient or something. And that's really like right up next against old dudes getting their asses beat because they get off on it. And it's like they're in the same play, like scene after scene. It's like, what is the juxtaposition here? Is something trying to be said, or is it just funny to watch people get beat? I don't know.
Or was it supposed to be sexual when the children got spanked?
Yeah. What the fuck?
This is supposed to be a pornographic sexy thing, and then it's like a lot of it's about children getting beat, and it's like for being bad, and it's like, is that supposed to be arousing?
Yeah, like in the intro when Lady Fleabum is talking to Lady Greyvares is talking about how, when she was young, she got her ass beat by the biggest woman she'd ever seen. Who was you know, a pretty hot lady, if I say so, you know, non-sexually.
140 pounds.
Yeah. And she had a lovely slender wrist or some shit. And was like, and then Lady Phelan was like, do you think that she got off on it or some shit? Or did she espouse pleasure or, you know, arousal from this? And it was like, oh, I don't think so. And it was like, what? Why are you asking? It was like, hey, when you got spanked as a kid, do you think that your governess was jilling it later?
The answer is maybe. That's
apparently from this opera. Yeah. Yes, the answer definitely is. The answer is actually definitely yes, according to this one.
And there was probably a foppish guy in the closet, straight jack into it.
David Carradine-ing it.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, I don't. Again, I don't think we're supposed to think too much about it. Though
it's hard not to think about it because it's like 8 seconds long, and it's just people getting their asses beat. It's like, yeah, no, I got the point now. But like, what am I doing here?
There weren't even like creative scenarios for some. It's just like
the last one was pretty creative.
Well, yeah, that was the grand finale.
They escalate.
So the first scene is Miss Flaybum and the Duchess of Pickle Rod.
It's like a Chuck Tingle name.
And Lady Harriet Tickletail. And the Countess of Green Birch, because they keep talking about like, oh yeah, you got to use birch. That's the good shit.
That's the best wood.
Ass whooping wood. And then much less funny, Lady Maria Castigate. Like, yeah, I know that's what you're doing, but come on.
She's got a hot Spanish blood or something.
And then just like, whipping butts is good, right? And they're like, yes. Okay. I get it. I saw the title. It was confusing. The annoying thing to read this. Did I actually end up uploading the PDF, or did you guys find it online?
I found it, but I think we all found the same one.
Yeah, I downloaded it. I don't know if, maybe I forgot.
I can't imagine this exists in more than one version.
Yeah.
Well, it exists. It's on archive.org, but it's from the personal library of the late Professor J.E. Shaw at the University of Toronto. So I really want to know what he was a professor of, that he had this book.
Professor of fucking.
Where they spank people all the time, but then say sorry right afterwards. But the old-timey printing does the thing where most of the time the letter S is an F, which is fucking very annoying to read.
So why is that? Here's my guess.
Yeah.
Because this is done on a real printing press. This is literally like Gutenberg's printing press.
Yep.
They didn't have enough S's, but they had way too many F's. So they're like, okay,
it's
whatever.
It's not exactly
an F.
So it's, well, it's depends, pretty close. I think, also on the quality of the printer.
That's true.
So yeah. This is clearly not like high quality printing. Did you also notice it did this thing where when a line of dialogue ended at the end of the page, but like, or continued
over the page.
You would
have the next word.
It'd have just the one next word.
To make sure that you were having the next page right, probably.
I wondered if that was a sign of shitty printing quality.
I figured it was a way to like make sure that they were being bound in the correct order.
Probably, yeah, exactly.
Even though there are also page numbers, so I don't know.
But the point of that weird upright S is it's basically copying the way people used to write. Like cursively, when you'd write, like, is it, you know, Nate, you can't write because you have like the handwriting of a sociopathic Yeti, but most people
true statement can confirm.
But like people who write in cursive, the letter S, or like a lot of the letters connect, and for the type of S that they used, it would basically connect at the top of the next word or at the bottom. Like, it was a fucking stupid thing. Of that like italic looking font, so that when they were printing it, they ended up copying that by making this kind of other letter that kind of looks like an F. The crossbar isn't supposed to actually go all the way across,
but there's a little half nub of the crossbar that's always there. So it's like it kind of looks like an F that got printed wrong.
So to a person at the time, they would have known. They would have known right away, like. I mean,
no, that's a big S.
Yeah. It was just to show, it was more, I think,
no, it's a lowercase S. They're like uppercase S's don't look like that. It's a lowercase S.
They use
S.
it for, but they use a regular S if it's at the end of the word. And if there's two of them next to each other, there's a big one and then a small, a regular S.
Like the word miss, instead of M-I-S-S, is M-I-F-S.
Which
like,
made me read it as the word MILF the entire time.
Because it's like, this is a porn book. MILFs. Yeah, I got it.
Every single time. It like made, like your brain adjusts like pretty quick, but like every time.
American
like,
Pie had just come out, so yeah, I guess this is, that's accurate.
So, yeah, it was meant to emulate, like, handwriting of the 1400s, basically. Printers started doing that. So if you go back and look at even Gutenberg's Bible, they have S's for the middle of things and then S's for the end of things.
If you have, like, a look at, like, the old documents from the founding of the country, like, the Congress, and is, like, the big thing and the little one. And also, a lot of, there's a bunch of printing things in these where it's like if it ends with like a CT, like there'll be like a little circle, like half circle over them to like connect the top of the two words or some random shit like that, like throughout. And I thought maybe it was a printing thing, but I saw it a bunch of times, so I thought maybe it's another old timey thing. It's very strange.
And I think there were just weird conventions of printing. If you kind of think about like writing and spelling were so consistent before printing. So like it took a while for them to kind of shake out all like the stupid things, like why the fuck would you use an F character, like a weird version of S only sometimes
in Russian. There's a printed alphabet, and if you're writing, there's a different alphabet that you do by hand, and sometimes they're similar, sometimes they're not, but it's like two different alphabets you have to learn.
I've seen some things on the on sometimes I go on Reddit things where people look for transcriptions of stuff, like trying to transcribe old documents, and people will have it for Russian handwritten documents, and it looks like squiggly lines. But so when somebody wrote it like in a hurry, and somebody you're looking at some old document, you're like, holy shit, that is just a guy testing his pen. And like, no, that says it is on to this day that I, the Archbishop of whatever the fuck, you know, bequeathed unto you two goats. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, so that's why that was very frustrating to read in the book. But yeah, I did think it was MILFs the whole time.
Especially with MILF Stoutback.
Yeah, that's what they called BBWs back then.
Another funny thing I noticed is that even though this is literally meant to be an underground, like, this is extremely naughty kind of thing, like this was supposed to be illegal, or like this was supposed to be pornographic, so like why bother censoring it, except they censored it because this is on page 30. Okay, so a lot of it is in the same cadence as "Twas the Night Before Christmas," or a lot of the parts that are in rhyme. They'd find all the bays heretofore a mere farce. In the laurel of fame, they'd find whipping in arse, except arse is A dash dash E. They can't even write the word arse, even though it's already naughty. Like, it is...
They're too busy whipping them to write the whole word, Nate.
Also, and then every stanza ends with, all shall yield, comma, ampersand C, period.
Well, that's et cetera.
That's et cetera.
Yeah, that's what et cetera
ampersand
means.
Ampersand C?
Et is Latin for and, right?
Et cetera is like and the rest or something,
it's
right?
One more character.
Ink was expensive.
I didn't know that, but it's also, it's two characters instead of three? They really bothered with that?
I mean, in the 1800s, ampersand was a letter. Like, when you learn, if you go, I don't remember how it goes now, but like...
Did you have to pronounce it? Boom.
Like it was a silent ampersand in this word. But like when kids learned the alphabet, there was like it would be like X, Y, Z, and ampersand. Like fucking
it like just ended thing. On and it was very confusing.
As and long what? As you didn't start the sentence with and. I've read from Nate's favorite writer, William F. Buckley. a pretty funny thing. Someone had criticized him
for Buckley?
Guy who started National Review, conservative.
Oh, yeah, okay.
From the starting in the 60s, but then was important through the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. So he, and he wrote God and Man at Yale, says big book in
a book I was supposed to read in college, but then didn't. I just somehow
because you didn't
got
go to Yale.
I definitely did not go to Yale, but also I was supposed to read the book God and Man at Yale by William F. Buckley, and I just because he wrote it. That's he wrote that when he was in his like 20s. He was like after you know, but
he was like in Yale still.
Yeah, was like, I was supposed to read that in college for a history class, and I just didn't, and somehow got away with it. I still and I lived. I don't know how.
Yeah. Nate, I hate to tell you, there are a lot of books I was supposed to read in college and got away with it. You could have pushed. You could have skipped more.
I definitely could have.
But he, someone criticized him for starting a sentence with, or in his writing, starting some sentences with and. Like, that's bad form. You must have had a shitty teacher in high school. And he wrote, like, Genesis 23:8 and Genesis, 43:13 or whatever the fuck, both start with and. The King James scholars went to pretty good high schools. I'm like, ooh, good Catholic burn, motherfucker. Or I guess Protestant burn, but still, even though he was Catholic. You get him with that, Jesus. And I really like that. So back to the butt tickling book.
It's not even tickling.
There's no tickling. Though there's also a woman named Love Rod, which really missed her mark in porn.
So many people in this book were described as being gay, but like in the old-timey sense.
Like Dr. Gay Hiller.
But they're all like these ladies. He's like, oh, you remember this other lady? He's like, oh, yes, I remember her. She's quite gay. It's like, oh, well, good for her.
Drove a Subaru coach.
She was betrothed on the second date.
Her petticoat's all flannel.
Did flannel even exist then? That would be so sweaty. Lilith Fair with an E on the end? Or just
yeah, well, I was trying to think of a Lilith Fair.
So the scene's fucking
Lady
even matter.
Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah, one of the characters just...
Melitha Etheridge.
Melissa. Now that sounds like a name from fucking Game of Thrones. It's just Melissa. It's like, yeah, it's almost a real name. Okay, Nate, take us home. Take us anywhere. Take us to Butt Town.
This whole book is Butt Town. This is Butt City. Multiple stops.
So after the introduction...
Express train to Butt Town.
The introduction, which is entirely in prose, and then you get the list of characters, and then you actually start the play, and then it's all in verse. Not all in verse, well, but there's
every
songs.
Every scene starts and ends with a song. Of course, you know, so.
They're real
then
songs.
Even the parts that aren't songs are actually still in verse. It to the cadence of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Let courtiers contend for the white rod of state.
That's still the song.
A white rod of state, or no, this is not a song because the songs are in like block quotes, whereas this is just people's lines.
That whole thing is the opening song because it ends with the et cetera because the chorus repeats the parts. It's refrain. It's a really long song. It's too long.
After a while, I stopped reading the songs.
Oh yeah, there's just stuff about getting your butt hit and like I like it.
Let courtiers contend for the white rod of state, which is actually state, but whatever. Or fequander their gold for a parliament feat. No rod but a birch can give transport and glee, while horsed and, or while whipped on a fine woman's knee. Yeah, there you go. That's what you get from this book. That's like
what
the whole
fuck?
Thing.
What page is this on?
That is on page 30, 31. That is 31, the top of page 31.
Oh, okay.
And then exit. And then scene, a bedchamber, naughty, except it's not. It's just spanking.
It's just, right. It's Miss Lady Bumtickler is meeting her new servant, Miffs Stoutback. And she's like, hey, you used to live with Lady Firkbottom. And she's like, yeah, she was really cool. She loves slapping kids on the ass. And it's like, oh, cool. Tell me about that.
You had any good stories?
Yeah.
And then they're just like, oh, man, it's so great because the butts start white and they get all red. Like, oh, nice. That's what they're for.
And she loved to, you know, slap these children's asses. Did you ever remember that show Crank Anchors?
Yeah, the telephone prank.
Yeah, it was a Comedy Central thing with like the puppets the fake telephone calls. Where it was like there was Niall Standish, like the gay British man. He called a lady who did handwritten invitations. He's like, I would like some invitations to a party I'm having. All right, can you take this down? I'm like, yeah, take this. Oh, got it, gotcha. It's like, guys, bring your best paddles to this year's annual ass slapping carnival. She's like, I'm sorry, what? Best paddles? She's like, I don't feel comfortable writing this. Like, no, it's okay. Don't worry about this. It's a good bit. It's a good bit. So I was thinking about that for most of this book because it's just British people talking about ass slapping. Though no paddles, just rods.
Yeah, which had to really fucking hurt.
Well, for the kids, it is definitely a thing of punishment. Like when they, one of the ladies has her daughter beaten for not remembering her enigma.
I made you memorize a riddle. Now tell me the answer. It's like, what are you talking about? What the fuck are you saying? Bring me the rod. Like, oh my God. Horrifying.
It was hard being a kid in the old days.
It really sucked.
If you didn't remember your enigma, mother beat you.
And I for a half a second, I was like, maybe I could solve this riddle. And then I was like, I don't give a shit. I don't give a fucking shit at all about this riddle. They're going to tell me. And they didn't. I don't think they did.
No,
I don't think
they tell you the enigma. The riddle. But I'm going to start calling them enigmas from now on to be a fucking asshole.
Like you're a fucking Batman villain?
Enigma.
I saw a funny thing saying it was terrible casting to have the Riddler be a man. Should have been a woman. Because what man would be able to resist explaining it to you right away? Like if he just figured something out, like, well, let me ask me a riddle. Do you see how it's an onion? Because, but it should just be as a woman. It's like, oh, the riddle? You have to figure out why I'm mad. And I'll give you this one clue. It's not the reason you think, but it's related to that. And the bat signal is just a sign that says, it's fine. So yeah, you could do that. Be that guy. I have an enigma for you. And if you master that, a quandary, perhaps. I don't know how to work this beer in, but...
Can work it in.
Oh, well, if you hit it hard enough. This is the other one from our patron friends. This is a Muley Buck from Kettle House. This was sent to us by real life people. You could do that, you know.
That's an easy one, Mike. What's a mule? An ass.
Oh, that's what I was thinking, but I thought maybe we could do better. I don't know. It took us 10 minutes to get Nate to say
it.
It
is not an ass.
And Nate's an ass man. He would know. Why is it not an ass?
I think a mule is the spawn of
the spawn.
A donkey and a horse.
It's the fucking spawn. Yeah, it's a half-breed.
You know, it's like a liger.
Yeah.
It's literally two
that
species.
That was a very hard R, Nate. That was...
Jesus Christ.
Fucking, can you bleep it when he said that?
I hate you. He's hiccuping in shame. But yes, a mule is the infertile spawn, half-breed creature.
Progeny.
Unspeakable chimera.
Affront to God and nature.
Of an ass. And it's so unspeakable, it must be whipped. This is Muley Buck from Kettle House, and it's a great IPA. Sent to us specifically by our friends Seth and Gail, who want to get us drunk and are just cooler than most people we know. So if you want to support the podcast, you don't have to send us beer, but now you can. You always could. Just so people didn't seem to think that.
You can do anything you put your mind to.
Yeah, if you're brave enough. You could help us out
beer
by going to
patreon.com/drunkdadbookclub
or just leaving us a good review wherever you're listening or telling someone to listen to the show. any and all would be appreciated. But thanks again.
Like we appreciate a good ass slapping. Nothing else happens in this fucking play.
There's just three scenes where someone gets spanked. That's really it.
And another scene where they talk about it.
Well, we're halfway through then.
Yeah. So in the end, where is it? Lord Strangeletch, he's like, hey, lady, I've got a good idea. Why don't you pretend to be Lady Bumtickler and just beat the shit out of my ass? And she's like, well, that's a great idea, sir. And then she tells Lady Bumtickler, hey, you should hit this guy's ass because he'll definitely marry you because he's into that shit. And you're like, this is the stupidest thing I ever heard about ever in my life. And then the plan works.
But isn't she like, oh, that'll be so funny. I'll come out of the closet and be like, it's me. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. But he's into ass slapping and you love ass slapping. It's literally your name. And then he's like, you know what? I love that.
Nominative.
Nominative determinism. Well, I wrote down this line. I don't remember what it's from, but it's funny. Madam, there's a lady that desires to speak to you. And Lady Bumtickler says, shoo her up. Like, I don't even know. Is that a pluperfect of show or the command? The command of show?
Imperative?
S-H-E-W. Shoo her up. This must be the paragon of hen. The paragon of her sex in whose praise my gay friend has been so extravagant. My gay friend said this redundant. Lady is awesome.
shoo means specifically to show, which is confusing.
Specifically to show? What the fuck?
It's a verb. Shoo is a verb.
Show is also a verb.
But a show could be a noun, right? Like there is a show.
Oh, so if they wrote a show, they'd be like, is always you can't a verb. Noun her up. This is pornographic grammar.
But that's the difference. It is. I think they still use it in some obscure cases in
British
law, probably.
Yeah,
like unless the witness shall shoo proof. Oh, fuck you. Yeah, you know, like some ask a barrister. They'll tell you.
Oh, I wrote this line down because I did not know what the fuck this meant. Maybe you guys can tell me. Or maybe you also were like, what the fuck does that mean? So I think this is part of one of the songs where Tomboy, who is a lady, I guess, I'm going to guess she's a tomboy. Miss, your assurance deserves a good box. 'Tis past all endurance, I'll pull your red locks. And then Telltale... Telltale is named that because she was talking shit.
About her MILF sauce box?
Yeah. And then Telltale says, that's more than you dare do, my insolent miss. For your bum, my mama has a good rod in piss.
Yeah.
What?
It's very obvious. You're going to beat her with a piss stick, Jimmy.
Is it a rod soaked in piss that she's going to beat her with?
Nate, judge's ruling?
You were there when they talked like this.
I doubt it.
What else could piss mean?
A good rod. I'm gonna. You know what? I'm going to Google the phrase, a good rod in piss. And I'm just going to see what happens.
No. I wouldn't recommend that.
No, what could happen? What could happen? The first one is a video called Best Rods You Should Get in Roblox. Okay.
Isn't that for kids?
Yeah, it is. I see. It copied piffs. It did not copy piss. Okay. Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no. Amazon sounding rods.
No. I don't like that.
I can't believe that they sell those on Amazon.
Everything and the kitchen sink.
Nate, do you know what sounding rods are?
They're not for finding water. They're not dowsing rods.
That's actually what I was thinking.
No, it's rods you put into your dick hole to gradually make it larger.
Oh.
The actual title is Sounding Rods Urethra.
Yeah, you start with like a real thin one, like a pipe cleaner, and then you work your way up to like, until if you get to like the black belt Dragon Ball level, the hole is big enough to fit someone else's dick into.
I think you just broke Nate.
Yeah, then someone could fuck your dick.
Dickception.
Yeah, you connect them like a finger trap.
It's a really advanced space docking.
Yes, it creates a fucking insane Mobius cock.
Yeah, when you search a good rod and piss, just sounding stuff pops up. Sounding rods, meaning how to use, pros and cons. That's from the Chain Gang Body Jewelry website. Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, there's a WebMD. What to know about this?
Don't do it.
They're like, hey, it blocks up your piss. Be careful with that. Okay. Well, now I know.
We don't know what the line meant, though.
No, but yeah, now Nate knows that. So honestly, it was worth it.
Oh my god!
You know what I liked most about the song, about the dialogue, because it doesn't give a lot of stage direction, but you know there had to be a lot of butt whipping happening throughout this thing.
Yeah, it's just people going, "No, no, no! I'm so sorry, Mom."
Yeah, it's like.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like the line when Duchess Picklerod is spanking Tomboy or someone. I thought, miss, you were to complain to your papa about me and exhibit your backside to draw down his vengeance upon me. Fo, 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 or so, 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 you told me a minute ago. I imagine each one of those so's was a spank.
Yeah, I guess it has to be, right?
Because there's a bunch of lines of dialogue like that where somebody says one syllable or like one phrase. Like, it is a bunch of times as they spank a person on stage.
I also wrote this one down because it's just fucking gibberish. He was once gay, plump, round, and jolly. But since he's been whipped with a rod, he gives way to dull melancholy. His mother, she calls him a clod and... This is not a word. SMGS Nitherum Doodle. While she keeps whipping his bum and Ditherum Foodie Fidgety Nidgety Mum. It's like if Dr. Seuss was really British and into slapping asses.
Wait, what was the not word? I see exactly. Fidgety Nidgety Nub. I see like that
four,
song.
Four lines up.
Well, every stanza ends with Fidgety Nidgety Nub.
Oh, okay.
What was the start of it?
And Fizz Nitherum Doodle.
That's the start of the stanza?
No, that's the halfway up the stanza. The start of the stanza is he was once gay, plump, round, and jolly.
Well, the thing is, I couldn't find all, I looked up only a couple, but these were real tunes. Like,
oh, yeah. It's like, they were like to the tune of.
Yeah. And so.
They were all there was Old Man River, which is really concerning.
But there were. They're like really old songs that you're not going to find unless you get some, you know, Google Books thing, like, you know, airs of the 1870s as recorded by Dr. Percival Jones Maxwell, MD, or, you know, like some weird fucking shit like that.
Some 90-year-old person sang it before they died for anthropology purposes.
Yeah, it's in the fuck is it called? The Smithsonian thing with the records, but then I saw one and I knew the I was like, oh my god, I know that song. it's some fucking Irish Rover tune, like Langoli. I was like, I have definitely heard that. That's a real tune. And then I listened to it and it lined up. I was like, holy shit, this is a song about booties now. So I assume all of them are real. But if you look up the air. I once was gay, plump, round, and jolly, which is the jingle for Ozempic. I bet it has its own, like, gibberish lyric section. Because he didn't try too hard on the words, yeah?
I put this one in bold because I loved this line so much. Your arse I shall tickle with a rod that's in pickle if I find the bed pissed in the morning.
Go on.
Is that a threat or a promise?
Nitherum. So then the spanking is over. We reached the end, which the characters spent most of their time thinking about.
Another crazy line at the end. Miss Staubach says to Miss Bumtuckler before she hides in the closet to jump out and get married, "Your ladyship is very polite, but I think you'd better dress for the closet scene." It's like, what?
They had called it. She was a gay lady.
She's very self-aware.
I think it's not only like spoofing opera, but like spoofing the production of an opera a little bit. Like, you must dress for that scene. That's the only thing that made sense to me when I read that.
It kind of reminded me of that modern movie version of A Midsummer Night's Dream when they do the really shitty play at the end.
I've not seen this.
Oh, you remember Midsummer when all the tradesmen put on the show for like the fucking, is it? It's actually a very good movie.
Bottom the Joiner. This is the play within the play.
This is the play within the play.
This is the play at the end. Yeah,
that level of quality.
And it's no longer in iambic pentameter because it's a play within the play, so it's shorter.
Now it's in more pentameters.
Butt-tameter,
yeah. Yeah, so Lady Bumtickler is going to marry Lord Strangletech because they have a kink that they share. And, you know, it must be hard to find a person who shares your kinks in the 1870s, I gotta say, you know. So props to them. You know, you married someone you barely knew to get with their passive income of owning land back then. It was never for love.
Or because everyone was so repressed back then, everyone was into that shit.
Maybe.
So it was everyone.
Well, that was like my one observation of the book, is that it's Victorian porn, which seems like an oxymoron, but it's all about them getting spanked for not being disciplined enough. And they're like, yes, I'm so bad.
I've forgotten my
Teach
enigmas.
Me to be good, my enigmas. And that's it. So it's actually the most Victorian thing ever, that the porn is disciplined.
Yeah. They've internalized their self-hatred.
Though I think that's like largely a, you know, a caricature of the Victorians as just being so repressed, I'm sure, especially in the more mundane classes.
I once heard it was like,
it was different.
Some guy was, I don't know, I don't remember where I heard this or if this was just some guy who was full of shit, but it sounded possible to me. It's like, people in Victorian times were not as concerned with upholding these rules as they were as being seen to be the best Victorian. Like, it was all just like a show and they were all assholes.
Aren't we always doing that? Aren't we always like performing?
Life is but a show or whatever.
Yeah. Nate, tell us why you loved it.
Okay. So one other thing I want to point out, which is in the introduction, is actually the most, what would today be the most risque line. But Lady Bumtickler. I think she's speaking right now. Yep. No, Lady Flaybum. Sorry.
Yeah, it's important to know the difference.
Cecilia, for so I shall call little wanton, jumped into my lap while I was speaking to a clerical beau whose eyes were riveted on mine, and with a rudeness I never met with before, she plunged her hands down my bosom and drawing up my breasts, exclaimed with a loud laugh, "Here's delightful bubbies, how plump and snowy."
I do remember that part, the bubbies.
Which is like, this is what would today, I mean, this was still all very tame, but what would today be more...
That's some 50 Shades of Grey stuff.
Yeah, which would today be more risque than...
Christian took out my bubbies and slapped him around. I fired up my MacBook.
I'm sorry, but I think she's
Audi. So,
it was actually when Christian took out her several
while
Jewish
listening
friends,
to Thomas Tallis.
He got David, Benjamin, and Rebecca, my boobies.
I think boobies are grandmas.
I think boobie is just a term of endearment. Bubula. Yeah.
Anyway, and that girl got spanked after that. That was the point of that story. But
well, you got to spank a kid for that. Come on. That's
yeah, you beat the fuck out of a kid.
Yeah.
And then you jack off to it later, apparently.
But it sounds like the kid's just like scooped out titties. Just like she plunged her hands and then pulled them out.
You know how
like,
hard it was to do that? Like with all the layers they were wearing and the fucking corsets?
While wearing a corset? Yeah, it must have been hard.
They must have been deflated. You know, I don't know how, they don't say how old Lady Flaybum is.
Which is like the 120 Days of Sodom people. They're all just like deflated from being so used that they're just all sagging holes.
their arse has never been wiped.
No wiping was allowed.
Yeah. I kind of glossed over that line because in a book about butt play, the boob stuff went right over my head. I was embarrassed
to
say.
It's not butt play. It's just whacking.
But not in that way.
No.
There is no whacking. So we have notes for John Camden Hotton, clearly.
Got some questions, Johnny.
The promising start.
Why did you do this?
Apparently it was a thing. I mean, I kind of, for a half a second, there were like 7 references on Wikipedia to this book about, you know, from like real books, like Stanford University Press or Princeton, you know, like real scholarly books about Victorian weird shit. I was like, oh, should I read into that? Like, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't care. I don't need to read.
You don't want to go that many layers deep?
No. I just will accept the book for the silly thing that it is. A spoof libretto from the 1860s or whatever it is about spanking.
I look forward to seeing it at the local off-Broadway.
The Playhouse Theater?
Yeah.
In Poughkeepsie. I'm glad I didn't say this is a punishment book because it's not nearly bad enough.
No, and you could read it in like 45 minutes.
It's just the fucking F's.
The F's.
That was the, you know, yeah. That was the most frustrating thing about it.
All these MILFs in this book.
I'm glad it wasn't just me. I was like, oh, my brain has been warped by porn. I shouldn't just be seeing MILFs.
I mean, it's just in the context of this thing. It fit.
It's also the only word that has those letters in that order.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, what the fuck work is that supposed to be? It's like there's a very old-timey version of the MILF guys from American Pie. Miss.
She's a miss.
Stifler's governess is a miss, yo.
And the scriptwriter's like, oh, that joke doth not make sense in the spoken word.
She shall render unto me that sweet miff's ass. Spanking. So who should read it, gentlemen? Everybody?
Agreed? Everybody.
Anyone into spanking. If you're second into spanking, graders? Then like this is your thing.
This is the origin point of this.
Yes, this is the Gilgamesh of spanking. No one should ever read it. It's a piece of shit. It's terrible.
It's not a great play. But I could easily see this being put on in like a weird amateur night at a Brooklyn bar. Like I could see this going down 100%.
Except this would take a really long time to memorize and rehearse because like
they could be on book.
It's not that easy.
I'd let them be on book.
Yeah, you're right. They could be on book only if you changed the F's back to S's though.
No, I want to leave the F's so they keep saying it wrong when they're doing it. It would be funnier.
Well, I was, this is really fucked up. I was reading this book aloud. I was trying to put my kid to sleep, and I was like reading. I like read whatever I'm reading.
You
to
read
him.
This to your child?
I read whatever I'm reading to him. Either that or the handful of things I've memorized. The baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I read this to your daughter. Handful. It's like, Jesus.
No. I read, just straight up Swedish erotica to her. This was, you know, it's like, and there's another picture of a man with his penis out, and there's another picture.
Fucking IKEA instructions.
He's doing a Flornegeborn to her. That's
always build with a friend.
So I read to the baby, whatever I'm reading, just to like, you know, it. I just like the idea. It doesn't matter which words he's rehearing per se. He just needs to hear a lot of words to encourage speech, and it just bores the shit out of him and lulls him to sleep. So reading this, and I would be reading it out loud, and I'd get onto like a good rhythm where I was like, I'm nailing all these fucking F's. Like, I was not getting them wrong. And then I'd get a word, and it was like, a fifted. I was like, oh, fucking assisted. God damn it. Do not leave me in suspense.
It was the ones at like the beginnings of the words that would throw me because I wasn't prepared for the context. I was like, all right, this word starts with F, sure.
Whenever anybody talked about hanging out with their fifter.
Yeah, fifter. Fifter, I barely know her.
Yeah. Like, wow, this took it went from spanking to fisting fast. But yeah, so happy Valentine's Day, guys. I hope you liked it. You got some new moves to try tonight with whoever's lucky enough to spend it with you. And
make sure to check out on Netflix old episodes of Fifter.
And tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on the Twitter. It's drunkguysbc.
And go to the other ones. There's no F's in it, so you're cool.
We mentioned Patreon and follow us, and that's the way to help us out. Or leave us a review. 5 stars, one for every 300 F's that were confusing to read in this book. That'll get you to at least 5 stars.
And join our group on Good Rods.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.